Right. Joe stayed with Katie for another hour, but steered the conversation toward easier ground. Katie talked about working at Ivan's and some of the customers she was getting to know. Joe asked about the best way to get the paint out from under her fingernails. With the wine gone, Katie's dizziness began to fade, leaving in its wake a sense of exhaustion. Joe, too, began to yawn, and they finally rose from the table. Joe helped Katie clean up, though there wasn't much to do aside from washing a couple of dishes, and Katie walked her to the door. As Joe stepped onto the porch, she paused.
"I think we had a visitor," she said.
"What are you talking about?"
"There's a bicycle leaning against your tree."
Katie followed her outside. Beyond the yellow glow of the porch light, the world was dark, and the outlines of the distant pine trees reminded Katie of the ragged edge of a black hole. Fireflies mimicked the stars, twinkling and blinking, and Katie squinted, realizing that Joe was right.
"Whose bicycle is that?" Katie asked. "I don't know."
"Did you hear anyone come up?"
"No, but I think someone left it for you. See?"
She pointed.
"Isn't that a bow on the handlebars?"
Katie squinted, spotting the bow. A woman's bike. It had wire baskets on each side of the rear wheel, as well as another wire basket on the front. A chain was wrapped loosely around the seat, with the key still in the lock.
"Who would bring me a bicycle?" "Why do you keep asking me these questions? I don't know what's going on any more than you do."
Katie and Joe stepped off the porch. Though the puddles had largely vanished, sinking into the sandy loam, the grass held on to the rain and dampened the tips of her shoes as Katie moved through it. She touched the bicycle, then the bow, rubbing the ribbon between her fingers like a rug merchant. A card was tucked beneath it, and Katie reached for it.
"It's from Alex," she said, sounding baffled. "Alex the store guy, Alex, or another Alex?"
"The store guy."
"What does it say?"
Katie shook her head, trying to make sense of it before holding it out.
"I thought you might enjoy this."
Joe tapped the note.
"I guess that means he's as interested in you as you are in him."
"I'm not interested in him."
"Of course not," Joe winked. "Why would you be?"
Chapter 8. Alex was sweeping the floor near the coolers when Katie entered the store. He had guessed that she would show up to talk to him about the bicycle first thing in the morning. After leaning the broom handle against the glass, he retucked his shirt and ran a quick hand through his hair. Kristen had been waiting for her all morning, and she'd already popped up before the door had even closed.
"Hey, Miss Katie,"
Kristen said.
"Did you get the bicycle?"
"I did, thank you," Katie answered. "That's why I'm here."
"We worked really hard on it."
"You did a great job," she said. "Is your dad around?"
"Uh-huh, he's right over there,"
she pointed.
"He's coming."
Alex watched as Katie turned toward him.
"Hey, Katie,"
he said. When he was close, she crossed her arms. "Can I talk to you outside for a minute?" He could hear the coolness in her voice and knew she was doing her best not to show her anger in front of Kristen.
"Of course," he said, reaching for the door.
Pushing it open, he followed her outside and found himself admiring her figure as she headed toward the bicycle. Stopping near the bike, she turned to face him. In the front basket was the umbrella she'd borrowed the day before. She patted the seat, her face serious. "Can I ask what this is about?"
"Do you like it?"
"Why did you buy it for me?"
"I didn't buy it for you," he said.
She blinked. "But your note..." He shrugged.
"It's been in the shed collecting dust for the last couple of years. Believe me, The last thing I'd do is buy you a bicycle. Her eyes flashed.
That's not the point. You keep giving me things, and you've got to stop. I don't want anything from you. I don't need an umbrella or vegetables or wine. And I don't need a bike.
Then give it away, he shrugged, because I don't want it either.
She fell silent, and he watched as confusion gave way to frustration, then finally, futility. In the end, she shook her head and turned to leave. Before she could take a step, he cleared his throat.
Before you go, though, would you at least do me the favor of listening to my explanation?
She glared at him over her shoulder.
It doesn't matter.
It might not matter to you, but it matters to me.
Her eyes held his, wavering before they finally dropped. When she sighed, he motioned to the bench in front of the store. He'd originally placed it there, wedged between the ice maker and a rack of propane tanks, as a joke, knowing that it would sit unused. Who would want to stare at a parking lot and the road out front? To his surprise, on most days it was almost always occupied. The only reason it was empty now was because it was so early. Katie hesitated before taking a seat, and Alex laced his fingers together in his lap.
I wasn't lying about the fact that the bike has been collecting dust for the past couple of years. It used to belong to my wife, Alex said. She loved that bike, and she rode it all the time. Once, she even rode it all the way to Wilmington, but of course by the time she got there, she was tired, and I had to go pick her up, even though I didn't have anyone to mind the store. I literally had to close the place up for a couple of hours.
He paused.
That was the last ride she took on it. That night, she had her first seizure, and I had to rush her to the hospital. After that, she got progressively sicker, and she never rode again. I put the bike in the garage, but every time I see it, I can't help but think back on that horrible night.
He straightened up.
I know I should have already gotten rid of it, but I just couldn't give it to someone who'd ride it once or twice and then forget about it. I wanted it to go to someone who would appreciate it as much as she did, to someone who was going to use it. That's what my wife would have wanted. If you'd known her, you'd understand. You'd be doing me a favor.
When she spoke, her voice was subdued. I can't take your wife's bike.
So you're still giving it back?
When she nodded, he leaned forward, propping his elbows on his knees.
You and I are a lot more alike than you realize. In your shoes, I would have done exactly the same thing. You don't want to feel like you owe anyone anything. You want to prove to yourself that you can make it on your own, right?
She opened her mouth to answer, but said nothing. In the silence, he went on.
After my wife died, I was the same way. For a long time. People would drop by the store, and a lot of them would tell me to call them if I ever needed anything. Most of them knew I didn't have any family here, and they meant well, but I never called anyone, because it just wasn't me. Even if I did want something, I wouldn't have known how to ask. But most of the time, I didn't even know what it was that I wanted. All I knew was that I was at the end of my rope, and to continue the metaphor, for a long time, I was barely hanging on. I mean, all at once, I had to take care of two young kids as well as the store, and the kids were younger then and needed even more attention than they do now. And then one day Joyce showed up.
He looked at her.
Have you met Joyce yet? Works a few afternoons a week, including Sundays. Older lady, talks to everyone. Josh and Kristen love her.
I'm not sure.
It's not important. But anyway, she showed up one afternoon, maybe around 5 or so, and she simply told me that she was going to take care of the kids while I spent the next week at the beach. She'd already arranged a place for me, and she told me that I didn't have a choice in the matter, because in her opinion, I was heading straight for a nervous breakdown.
He pinched the bridge of his nose, trying to stifle the memory of those days.
I was upset about it at first. I mean, they're my kids, right? And what kind of father was I to make people think that I couldn't handle being a father? But unlike anyone else, Joyce didn't ask me to call if I needed anything. She knew what I was going through, and she went ahead and did what she thought was right. The next thing I knew, I was on my way to the beach. And she was right. The first 2 days, I was still a wreck. But over the next few days, I went for long walks, read some books, slept late, and by the time I got back, I realized that I was more relaxed than I'd been in a long time. He trailed off, feeling the weight of her scrutiny. I don't know why you're telling me this. He turned toward her.
Both of us know that if I'd asked you if you wanted the bicycle, you would have said no. So, like Joyce did with me, I just went ahead and did it, because it was the right thing to do. Because I learned that it's okay to accept some help every now and then.
He nodded toward the bike.
Take it, he said. I have no use for it, and you have to admit that it would make getting to and from work a whole lot easier.
It took her a few seconds before he saw her shoulders relax, and she turned to him with a wry smile. Did you practice that speech?
Of course.
He tried to look sheepish.
But you'll take it?
She hesitated. A bike might be nice, she finally admitted. Thank you. For a long moment, neither of them said anything. As he stared at her profile, he noted again how pretty she was, though he had the sense that she didn't think so, which only made her even more appealing.
You're welcome, he said.
But no more freebies, okay? You've done more than enough for me already.
Fair enough.
He nodded toward the bike.
Did it ride okay? With the baskets, I mean?
It was fine. Why?
Because Kristen and Josh helped me put them on yesterday. One of those rainy day projects, you know? Kristen picked them out. Just so you know, she also thought you needed sparkly handlebar grips, too, but I drew the line at that.
I wouldn't have minded sparkly handlebar grips. He laughed.
I'll let her know.
She hesitated. You're doing a good job, you know. With your kids, I mean.
Thank you.
I mean it, and I know it hasn't been easy.
That's the thing about life. A lot of the time, it isn't easy at all. We just have to try to make the best of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she said. I think I do. The door to the store opened, and as Alex leaned forward, he saw Josh scanning the parking lot, Kristen close behind him. With brown hair and brown eyes, Josh resembled his mom. His hair was a riotous mess, and Alex knew he'd just crawled out of bed.
Over here, guys.
Josh scratched his head as he shuffled toward them. Kristen beamed, waving at Katie.
Hey, Dad?
Josh asked.
Yeah?
We wanted to ask if we're still going to the beach today. You promised to take us.
That was the plan.
With a barbecue?
Of course.
Okay,
he said. He rubbed his nose.
Hi, Miss Katie.
Katie waved at Josh and Kristen.
Do you like the bike?
Kristen chirped.
Yes, thank you. I had to help my dad fix it,
Josh informed her.
He's not too good with tools.
Katie glanced at Alex with a smirk.
He didn't mention that.
It's okay. I knew what to do, but he had to help me with the new inner tube.
Kristen fixed her gaze on Katie.
Are you going to come to the beach, too?
Katie sat up straighter. I don't think so.
Why not?
Kristen asked.
She's probably working, Alex said.
Actually, I'm not, she said. I have a couple of things to do around the house.
Then you have to come,
Kristen cried.
It's really fun.
That's your family time, she insisted. I wouldn't want to be in the way.
You won't be in the way. And it's really fun. You can watch me swim. Please,
Kristen begged. Alex stayed quiet, loath to add pressure. He assumed Katie would say no, but surprising him, she nodded slightly. When she spoke, her voice was soft. Okay, she finally said. Chapter 9. After getting back from the store, Katie parked the bike at the back of the cottage and went inside to change. She didn't have a bathing suit, but she wouldn't have worn one, even if she did. As natural as it was for a teenager to walk around in front of strangers in the equivalent of underwear and a bra, she wasn't comfortable wearing something like that in front of Alex on a day out with his kids. Or frankly, even without the kids. Though she resisted the idea, she had to admit he intrigued her. Not because of the things he'd done for her, as touching as that was. It had more to do with the sad way he smiled sometimes, the expression on his face when he'd told her about his wife, or the way he treated his kids. There was a loneliness within him that he couldn't disguise, and she knew that in some way it matched her own. She knew he was interested in her. She'd been around long enough to recognize when men found her attractive. The clerk at the grocery store talking too much, or a stranger glancing her way, or a waiter at a restaurant checking on their table just a bit too frequently. In time, she'd learned to pretend she was oblivious to the attention of those men. In other instances, she showed obvious disdain, because she'd known what would happen if she didn't, later, once they got home, once they were alone. But that life was gone now, she reminded herself. Opening the drawers, she pulled out a pair of shorts and the sandals she'd picked up at Anna Jean's. The night before, she'd had wine with a friend, and now she was going to the beach with Alex and his family. These were ordinary events in an ordinary life. The concept felt alien, like she was learning the customs of a foreign land, and it left her feeling strangely elated and wary at exactly the same time. As soon as she finished dressing, she saw Alex's Jeep coming up the gravel road, and she drew a long breath as he pulled to a stop in front of her house. Now or never, she thought to herself as she stepped out onto the porch.
You need to put on your seatbelt, Miss Katie, Kristen said from behind her. My dad won't drive unless you're wearing it.
Alex looked over at her as if to say, Are you ready for this? She gave him her bravest smile. Okay, he said. Let's go. They reached the coastal town of Long Beach, complete with saltbox houses and expansive views of the sea, in less than an hour. Alex pulled into a small parking lot nestled against the dunes, saw grass billowed nearby in the stiff sea breeze. Katie got out of the car and stared at the ocean, breathing deeply. The kids climbed out and immediately made for the path between the dunes.
I'm going to check the water, Dad,
Josh shouted, holding up his mask and snorkel.
Me too,
Kristen added, trailing behind. Alex was busy unloading the back of the Jeep.
Hold up, he called out. Just wait, okay?
Josh sighed, his impatience obvious as he shifted from one foot to the other. Alex began pulling out the cooler. Do you need some help? Katie asked. He shook his head.
I can handle this, but would you mind putting some sunscreen on the kids and keeping an eye on them for a few minutes? I know they're excited to be here.
That's fine, she said, turning to Kristen and Josh. Are you two ready? Alex spent the next few minutes ferrying the items from the car, setting up camp near the picnic table closest to the dune where high tide wouldn't encroach. Though there were a few other families, for the most part, they had this section of the beach to themselves. Katie had slipped off her sandals and was standing at the water's edge as the kids splashed in the shallows. Her arms were crossed, and even from a distance, Alex noticed a rare expression of contentment on her face. He slung a couple of towels over his shoulder as he approached.
It's hard to believe there was a storm yesterday, isn't it?
She turned at the sound of his voice. I forgot how much I missed the ocean.
Been a while?
Too long, she said, listening to the steady rhythm of the waves as they gently rolled ashore. Josh ran in and out of the waves, while off to the side, Kristen crouched, searching for collectible seashells. It must be hard sometimes, raising them on your own, Katie observed. Alex hesitated, considering it. When he spoke, his voice was soft.
Most of the time, it isn't so bad. We kind of get into a rhythm, you know, in our daily lives. It's when we do things like this, when there is no rhythm, that it sometimes gets frustrating.
He kicked briefly at the sand, making a small furrow at their feet.
When my wife and I talked about having a third child, she tried to warn me that a third child would mean moving from man to man to zone defense. She used to joke that she wasn't sure I was up to it. But here I am, in zone defense every day.
He trailed off, shaking his head.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Said what?
It seems like every time I talk to you, I end up talking about my wife.
For the first time, she turned to him. Why shouldn't you talk about your wife? He pushed a pile of sand back and forth, smoothing over the ditch he'd just made.
Because I don't want you to think that I can't talk about anything else. That all I do is live in the past.
You loved her very much, didn't you?
Yes, he answered.
And she was a major part of your life, and the mother of your kids, right?
Yes.
Then it's okay to talk about her, she said. You should talk about her. She's part of who you are. Alex flashed a grateful smile, but couldn't think of anything to say. Katie seemed to read his mind, and when she spoke, her voice was gentle. How did the two of you meet?
We met in a bar, of all places. She was out with some girlfriends, celebrating someone's birthday. It was hot and crowded, and the lights were low, and the music was loud. And she just stood out. I mean, all her friends were a little out of control, and it was obvious that all of them were having a good time, but she was as cool as can be.
I'll bet she was beautiful, too.
Well, that goes without saying, he said. So, swallowing my nervousness, I wandered over and proceeded to use every ounce of charm I had at my disposal.
When he paused, he noticed the smile playing at the corners of her lips. And? She asked.
And it still took me 3 hours to get so much as a name and phone number from her.
She laughed. And let me guess, you called the next day, right? And asked her out?
How would you know that?
You seem like the type.
Spoken like someone who's been hit on more than a few times.
She shrugged, leaving it open to interpretation. Then what?
Why do you want to hear this?
I don't know, she admitted. But I do. He studied her.
Fair enough,
he finally said.
So anyway, as you already magically knew, I asked her out to lunch, and we spent the rest of the afternoon talking. That weekend, I told her the two of us would get married one day.
You're kidding.
I know. Sounds crazy. Believe me, she thought it was crazy too. But I just knew. She was smart and kind, and we had a lot in common, and we wanted the same things in life. She laughed a lot, and she made me laugh too. Honestly, of the two of us, I was the lucky one.
Rollers continued to ride the ocean breeze, pushing over her ankles. She probably thought she was lucky, too.
That's only because I was able to fool her.
I doubt that.
That's because I'm able to fool you, too.
She laughed. I don't think so.
You're just saying that because we're friends.
You think we're friends?
Yeah,
he said, holding her gaze.
Don't you?
He could tell by her expression that the idea surprised her. But before she could answer, Kristen came splashing toward them, holding a fistful of seashells.
Miss Katie!
She cried.
I found some really pretty ones!
Katie bent lower. Can you show me? Kristen held them out, dumping them into Katie's hand before turning toward Alex.
Hey, Daddy!
She asked.
Can we get the barbecue started? I'm really hungry.
Sure, sweetie.
He took a few steps down the beach, watching his son diving in and out of the waves. As Josh popped back up, Alex cupped his mouth.
Hey, Josh, he shouted. I'm going to start the coals, so why don't you come in for a while?
Now?
Josh shouted back.
Just for a little while.
Even from a distance, he saw his son's shoulders droop. Katie must have noticed it as well, because she was quick to speak up.
I can stay down here if you want, she assured him.
You sure?
Kristen's showing me her seashells, she said.
He nodded and turned back to Josh.
Miss Katie's gonna watch you, okay? So don't go out too far.
I won't,
he said, grinning. Chapter 10. A little while later, Katie led a shivering Kristen and excited Josh back toward the blanket Alex had spread out earlier. The grill had been set up, and the briquettes were already glowing white on the edges. Alex unfolded the last of the beach chairs onto the blanket and watched them approach.
How's the water, guys?
Awesome,
Josh answered. His hair, partially dried, was pointing in every direction.
When's lunch?
Alex checked the coals.
Give me about 20 minutes.
Can me and Kristen go back to the water?
You just got out of the water. Why don't you take a break for a few minutes?
We don't want to swim. We want to build sandcastles, he said.
Alex noted Kristen's chattering teeth.
Are you sure you want to do that? You're purple.
Kristen nodded vehemently.
I'm okay,
she said, shivering.
And we're supposed to build castles at the beach.
All right, but let's throw shirts on you two. And stay right there where I can see you, he said, pointing.
I know, Dad, Josh sighed. I'm not a little kid anymore.
Alex rummaged through a duffel bag and helped both Josh and Kristen put their shirts on. When he was finished, Josh grabbed a bag full of plastic toys and shovels and ran off, stopping a few feet from the water's edge. Kristen trailed behind him.
Do you want me to head down there? Katie asked.
He shook his head.
No, they'll be okay. This is the part they're used to. When I'm cooking, I mean. They know to stay out of the water.
Moving to the cooler, he squatted down and opened the lid.
Are you getting hungry too?
He asked.
A little, she said, before realizing that she hadn't eaten anything since the cheese and wine she'd had the evening before.
On cue, she heard her stomach growl, and she crossed her arms over it.
Good, because I'm starved.
As Alex began rummaging through the cooler, Katie noticed the sinewy muscles of his forearm.
I was thinking hot dogs for Josh, a cheeseburger for Kristen, and for you and me, steaks.
He pulled out the meat and set it aside, then leaned over the grill, blowing on the coals.
Can I help with anything?
Would you mind putting the tablecloth on the table? It's in the cooler.
Sure, Katie said.
She pulled one of the bags of ice out of the cooler and simply stared. There's enough food for half a dozen families in here, she said.
Yeah, well, with kids, my motto has always been bring too much rather than not enough, since I never know exactly what they'll eat. You can't imagine how many times we've come out here and I've forgotten something and have had to load the kids back up and run to the store. I wanted to avoid that today.
She unfolded the plastic tablecloth, and at Alex's direction, secured the corners with paperweights he had somehow thought to bring.
What next? Do you want me to put everything else on the table?
We've got a few minutes. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a beer, he said.
Reaching into the cooler, he pulled out a bottle.
You?
I'll take a soda, she said.
Diet Coke?
He asked, reaching back in.
Great.
When he passed the can to her, his hand brushed against hers, though she wasn't sure he even noticed. He motioned to the chairs.
Would you like to sit?
She hesitated before taking a seat next to him. When he'd set them up, he'd left enough distance between them so that they wouldn't accidentally touch. Alex twisted the cap from his beer and took a pull.
There's nothing better than a cold beer on a hot day at the beach.
She smiled, slightly disconcerted at being alone with him.
I'll take your word for it.
You don't like beer?
Her mind flashed to her father and the empty cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon that usually littered the floor next to the recliner where he sat.
Not too much, she admitted.
Just wine, huh?
It took her a moment to remember that he'd given her a bottle.
I had some wine last night, as a matter of fact, with my neighbor,
Yeah, good for you.
She searched for a safe topic. You said you were from Spokane? He stretched his legs out in front of him, crossing them at the ankles.
Born and raised. I lived in the same house until I went to college.
He cast a sidelong glance at her.
University of Washington, by the way. Go Huskies.
She smiled. Do your parents still live there?
Yes.
That must make it hard for them to visit the grandkids.
I suppose.
Something in his tone caught her attention. You suppose?
They're not the kind of grandparents who would come by, even if they were closer. They've seen the kids only twice. Once when Kristen was born, and the second time at the funeral.
He shook his head.
Don't ask me to explain it,
he went on.
But my parents have no interest in them, aside from sending them cards on their birthdays and gifts at Christmas. They'd rather travel, or do whatever it is they do.
Huh.
What can I do? And besides, I can't say they were all that different with me, even though I was their youngest child. The first time they visited me in college was graduation day, and even though I swam well enough to get a full scholarship, they saw me race only twice. Even if I lived across the street from them, I doubt they'd want to see the kids. That's one of the reasons I stayed here. I might as well, right?
What about the other set of grandparents? He scratched at the label on his bottle of beer.
That's trickier. They had two other daughters who moved to Florida, and after they sold me the store, they moved down there. They come up once or twice a year to visit for a few days, but it's still hard for them. And they won't stay at the house either, because I think it reminds them of Carly. Too many memories.
In other words, you're pretty much on your own.
It's just the opposite, he said, nodding toward the kids. I have them, remember?
It has to be hard sometimes, though. Running the store, raising your kids.
It's not so bad. As long as I'm up by 6 in the morning and don't go to bed until midnight, it's easy to keep up.
She laughed easily. Do you think the Coles are getting close?
Let me check, he said.
After setting the bottle in the sand, he stood up from his chair and walked over to the grill. The briquettes were white, and heat rose in shimmering waves.
Your timing is impeccable, he said.
He threw the steaks and the hamburger patty on the grill while Katie went to the cooler and started bringing the endless array of items to the table. Tupperware containers of potato salad, coleslaw, pickles, a green bean salad, sliced fruit, two bags of chips, slices of cheese, and assorted condiments. She shook her head as she started arranging everything, thinking that Alex somehow forgot that his kids were still little. There was more food here than she'd kept in her house the entire time she'd lived in Southport. Alex flipped the steaks and the hamburger patty and then added the hot dogs to the grill. As he did, he found his gaze drifting to Katie's legs as she moved around the table, noting again how attractive she was. She seemed to realize he was staring. What? She asked.
Nothing, he said.
You were thinking about something. He sighed.
I'm glad you decided to come today,
he finally said.
Because I'm having a great time.
As Alex hovered over the grill, they settled into easy conversation. Alex gave her an overview of what it was like to run a country store. He told her how his in-laws had started the business and described with affection some of the regulars, people who could best be described as eccentric. And Katie silently wondered whether she would have been included in that description had he brought someone else to the beach. Not that it would have mattered. The more he talked, the more she realized that he was the kind of man who tried to find the best in people, the kind of man who didn't like to complain. She tried and failed to imagine what he'd been like when he was younger, and gradually steered the conversation in that direction. He talked about growing up in Spokane and the long, lazy weekends he spent riding bikes along the Centennial Trail with friends. He told her that once he discovered swimming, it quickly became an obsession. He swam 4 or 5 hours a day and had Olympic dreams, but a torn rotator cuff in his sophomore year of college put an end to those. He told her about the fraternity parties he'd attended and the friends he'd made in college, and admitted that nearly all of those friendships had slowly but surely drifted away. As he talked, Katie noticed that he didn't seem to either embellish or downplay his past, nor did he appear to be overly preoccupied with what others thought of him. She could see the traces of the elite athlete he once had been, noting the graceful, fluid way he moved and the easy way he smiled, as if long accustomed to both victory and defeat. When he paused, she worried that he would ask about her past, but he seemed to sense that it would make her uncomfortable and would instead launch into another story. When the food was ready, he called the kids and they came running. They were covered in sand, and Alex had them stand to the side while he brushed them off. Watching him, she knew he was a better father than he gave himself credit for. Good, she suspected, in all the ways that mattered. Once the kids got to the table, the conversation shifted. She listened as they chattered on about their sandcastle and one of the shows on the Disney Channel they both enjoyed. When they wondered aloud about the s'mores they were supposed to have later, marshmallows, chocolate bars, and graham crackers warmed until melting, it was clear that Alex had created special, fun traditions for his kids. He was different, she thought, from the men she'd met in her past, different from anyone she'd met before. And as the conversation rambled on, any vestiges of the nervousness she'd once felt began to slip away. The food was delicious, a welcome change from her recent austere diet. The sky remained clear, the blue expanse broken only by an occasional seabird passing overhead. The breeze rose and fell, enough to keep them cool, and the steady rhythm of the waves added to the sense of calm. When they finished eating, Josh and Kristen helped clear the table and pack away the uneaten items. A few items that wouldn't spoil, the pickles and the chips, were left on the table. The kids wanted to go boogie boarding, and after Alex reapplied their suntan lotion, he slipped off his shirt and followed them into the waves. Katie carried her chair to the water's edge and spent the next hour watching as he helped the kids through the breakers, moving one and then the other into position to catch the waves. The kids were squealing with delight, obviously having the time of their lives. She marveled at the way Alex was able to make each of them feel like the center of attention. There was a tenderness in the way he treated them, a depth of patience that she hadn't quite expected. As the afternoon wore on and the clouds began to drift in, she found herself smiling at the thought that for the first time in many years, she felt completely relaxed. And not only that, she knew she was having as much fun as the kids. Chapter 11. After they got out of the water, Kristen declared that she was cold, and Alex led her to the bathroom to help her change into dry clothes. Katie stayed with Josh on the blanket, admiring the way the sunlight rippled on the water, while Josh scooped sand into little piles.
Hey, do you want to help me fly my kite? Josh suddenly asked.
I don't know that I've ever flown a kite before.
It's easy,
he insisted, digging around in the pile of toys Alex had brought and pulling out a small kite.
I can show you how. Come on.
He took off running down the beach, and Katie jogged a few steps before settling back into a brisk walk. By the time she reached him, he was already beginning to unwind the string, and he handed her the kite.
Just hold this above your head, okay?
She nodded as Josh started to back up slowly, continuing to loosen the string with practiced ease.
Are you ready?
He shouted as he finally came to a stop.
When I take off running and yell, just let go!
I'm ready, she shouted back. Josh started running, and when Katie felt the tension in the kite and heard him shout, she released it immediately. She wasn't sure the breeze was strong enough, but the kite shot straight into the sky within seconds. Josh stopped running and turned around. As she walked toward him, he let out even more line. Reaching his side, she shielded her eyes from the sun as she watched the slowly rising kite. Black and yellow, the distinctive Batman logo, was visible even from a distance.
I'm pretty good at flying kites, he said, staring up at it.
How come you've never flown one?
I don't know. It just wasn't something I did as a kid.
You should have. It's fun.
Josh continued to stare upward, his face a mask of concentration. For the first time, Katie noticed how much Josh and Kristen looked alike.
How do you like school?
You're in kindergarten, right?
It's okay. I like recess best. We have races and stuff.
Of course, she thought. Since they had arrived at the beach, he'd barely stopped moving.
Is your teacher nice?
She's really nice.
She's kind of like my dad. She doesn't yell or anything.
Your dad doesn't yell?
No,
he said with great conviction.
What does he do when he gets mad?
He doesn't get mad.
Katie studied Josh, wondering if he was serious before realizing that he was.
Do you have a lot of friends?
He asked. Not too many. Why?
Because my dad says that you're his friend. That's why he brought you to the beach.
When did he say that?
When we were in the waves.
What else did he say?
He asked us if it bothered us that you came.
Does it?
Why should it?
He shrugged.
Everybody needs friends. And the beach is fun.
No argument there.
You're right, she said. My mom used to come with us out here, you know.
She did?
Yeah, but she died.
I know, and I'm sorry. That must be hard. You must miss her very much. He nodded, and for an instant, he looked both older and younger than his age.
My dad gets sad sometimes. He doesn't think I know, but I can tell.
I'd be sad, too. He was quiet as he thought about her answer.
Thanks for helping me with my kite, he said.
You two seem to be having a good time, Alex observed.
After Kristen had changed, Alex helped her get her kite in the air and then went to stand with Katie on the compact sand near the water's edge. Katie could feel her hair moving slightly in the breeze.
He's sweet and more talkative than I thought he'd be.
As Alex watched his kids managing their kites, she had the sense that his eyes missed nothing. So this is what you do on weekends after you leave the store. You spend time with the kids.
Always, he said. I think it's important.
Even though it sounds like your parents felt differently? He hesitated.
That would be the easy answer, right? I felt slighted somehow and made a promise to myself to be different. It sounds good, but I don't know if it's totally accurate. The truth is that I spend time with them because I enjoy it. I enjoy them. I like watching them grow up, and I want to be part of that.
As he answered, Katie found herself remembering her own childhood, trying and failing to imagine either of her parents echoing Alex's sentiments. Why did you join the army after you got out of school?
At the time, I thought it was the right thing to do. I was up for a new challenge. I wanted to try something different, and joining gave me an excuse to leave Washington. With the exception of a couple of swim meets here and there, I'd never even left the state.
Did you ever see... When she trailed off, he finished her sentence.
Combat? No. I wasn't that kind of army. I was a criminal justice major in college, and I ended up in CID.
What's that? When he told her, she turned toward him. Like the police? He nodded.
I was a detective, he said.
Katie said nothing. Instead, she turned away abruptly, her face closing down like a gate slamming shut.
Did I say something wrong?
He asked. She shook her head without answering. Alex stared at her, wondering what was going on. His suspicions about her past surfaced almost immediately.
What's going on, Katie?
Nothing, she insisted. But as soon as the word came out, he knew she wasn't telling the truth. In another place and time, he would have followed up with another question, but instead, he let it drop.
We don't have to talk about it, he said quietly. And besides, it's not who I am anymore. Believe me when I say I'm a lot happier running a general store.
She nodded,
but he sensed a trace of lingering anxiety. He could tell she needed space, even if he wasn't sure why. He motioned over his shoulder with his thumb.
Listen, I forgot to add more briquettes to the grill. If the kids don't get their s'mores, I'll never hear the end of it. I'll be right back, okay?
Sure, she answered, feigning nonchalance. When he jogged off, Katie exhaled, feeling like she'd somehow escaped. He used to be a police officer, she thought to herself, and she tried to tell herself that it didn't matter. Even so, it took almost a minute of steady breathing before she felt somewhat in control again. Kristen and Josh were in the same places, though Kristen had bent over to examine another seashell, ignoring her soaring kite. She heard Alex approaching behind her.
Told you it wouldn't take long, he said easily. After we eat the s'mores, I was thinking about calling it a day. I'd love to stay out until the sun sets, but Josh has school tomorrow.
Whenever you want to go is fine with me, she said, crossing her arms. Noting her rigid shoulders and the tight way she'd spoken the words, he furrowed his brow.
I'm not sure what I said that bothered you, but I'm sorry, okay?
He finally said.
Just know that I'm here, if you want to talk about it.
She nodded without answering, and though Alex waited for more, there was nothing.
Is this the way it's going to be with us?
He asked. What do you mean?
I feel like I'm suddenly walking on eggshells around you, but I don't know why.
I'd tell you, but I can't, she said. Her voice was almost inaudible over the sound of the waves.
Can you at least tell me what I said? Or what I did?
She turned to him. You didn't say or do anything wrong, but right now I can't say any more than that, okay? He studied her.
Okay, he said. As long as you're still having a good time.
It took some effort, but she finally managed a smile. This is the best day I've spent in a long time. Best weekend, in fact.
You're still mad about the bike, aren't you?
He said, narrowing his eyes in mock suspicion. Despite the tension she felt, she laughed. Of course! It's going to take a long time for me to recover from that, she said, pretending to pout. Turning his gaze to the horizon, he seemed relieved. Can I ask you something? Katie asked, turning serious again. You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
Anything,
he said. What happened to your wife? You said she had a seizure, but you haven't told me why she was sick. He sighed, as if he'd known all along she was going to ask, but still had to steel himself to answer.
She had a brain tumor,
he began slowly.
Or, more accurately, she had 3 different types of brain tumors. I didn't know it then, but I learned that's fairly common. The one that was slow growing was just what you'd think. It was about the size of an egg, and the surgeons were able to take most of it out, but the other tumors weren't so simple. They were the kind of tumors that spread like spider legs, and there was no way to remove them without removing part of her brain. They were aggressive, too. The doctors did the best they could, but even when they walked out of surgery and told me that it had gone as well as it could, I knew exactly what they meant.
I can't imagine hearing something like that. She stared down at the sand.
I admit I had trouble believing it. It was so unexpected. I mean, the week before, we were a normal family, and the next thing I knew, she was dying, and there was nothing I could do to stop it.
Off to the side, Kristen and Josh were still concentrating on their kites, but Katie knew that Alex could barely see them.
After the surgery, it took a few weeks for her to get back on her feet, and I wanted to believe that things were okay. But after that, week by week, I began to notice little changes. The left side of her body started to get weaker, and she was taking longer and longer naps. It was hard, but the worst part for me was that she began to pull away from the kids, like she didn't want them to remember her being sick. She wanted them to remember the way she used to be.
He paused before finally shaking his head.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have told you that. She was a great mom. I mean, look how well they're turning out.
I think their father has something to do with that, too.
I try. But half the time, it doesn't feel like I know what I'm doing. It's like I'm faking it.
I think all parents feel like that. He turned toward her.
Did yours?
She hesitated. I think my parents did the best they could. Not a ringing endorsement, but the truth.
Are you close with them?
They died in a car accident when I was 19. He stared at her.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It was tough, Katie said.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
No, she said. She turned toward the water. It's just me. A few minutes later, Alex helped the kids reel in their kites and they headed back to the picnic area. The coals weren't quite ready, and Alex used the time to rinse the boogie boards and shake sand from the towels before pulling out what he needed for the s'mores. Kristen and Josh helped pack up most of their things, and Katie put the rest of the food back into the cooler while Alex began ferrying items to the Jeep. By the time he was finished, only a blanket and 4 chairs remained. The kids had arranged them in a circle while Alex handed out long prongs and the bag of marshmallows. In his excitement, Josh ripped it open, spilling a small pile onto the blanket. Following the kids' lead, Katie pushed 3 marshmallows onto the prong, and the 4 of them stood over the grill, twirling the prongs, while the sugary puffs turned golden brown. Katie held hers a little too close to the heat, and 2 of the marshmallows caught on fire, which Alex quickly blew out. When they were ready, Alex helped the kids finish the treat. Chocolate on the graham cracker, followed by the marshmallow and topped with another cracker. It was sticky and sweet, and the best thing Katie had eaten in as long as she could remember. Sitting between his kids, she noticed Alex struggling with his crumbling s'more, making a mess, and when he used his fingers to wipe his mouth, it made matters only worse. The kids found it hilarious, and Katie couldn't help giggling as well, and she felt a sudden, unexpected surge of hope. Despite the tragedy they'd all gone through, this was what a happy family looked like. This, she thought, is what a loving family did when they were together. For them, it was nothing but an ordinary day on an ordinary weekend. But for her, there was something revelatory about the notion that wonderful moments like these existed, and that maybe, just maybe, it would be possible for her to experience similar days in the future. Chapter 12.
Then what happened?
Joe was sitting across from her at the table, the kitchen glowing yellow, illuminated only by the light above the stove. After Katie had returned, she'd come over, specks of paint in her hair. Katie had started a pot of coffee, and 2 cups were on the table. Nothing, really. After finishing the s'mores, we walked down the beach one last time, then got in the car and drove home.
Did he walk you to the door?
Yes.
Did you invite him in?
He had to get the kids back home.
Did you kiss him goodnight?
Of course not.
Why not?
Weren't you listening? He was bringing his kids to the beach and he invited me along. It wasn't a date. Joe raised her coffee cup.
It sounds like a date.
It was a family day. Joe considered that.
It sounded like the 2 of you spent a lot of time talking.
Katie leaned back in her chair.
I think you wanted it to be a date. Why would I want that?
I have no idea. But ever since we've met, in every conversation, you bring him up somehow. It's like you've been trying to, I don't know,
make sure I notice him.
Joe swirled the contents of her cup before setting it back on the table.
And have you?
Katie threw up her hands. See what I mean? Jo laughed before shaking her head.
All right. How about this?
She hesitated, then went on. I've met a lot of people, and over time I've developed instincts that I've learned to trust. As we both know, Alex is a great guy, and once I got to know you, I felt the same way about you. Other than that, I haven't done anything more than tease you about it. It's not like I dragged you to the store and introduced the two of you. Nor was I around when he asked you to go to the beach, an invitation you were more than willing to accept.
Kristen asked me to go.
I know. You told me that, Jo said, arching an eyebrow. And I'm sure that's the only reason you went.
Katie scowled.
You have a funny way of twisting things around.
Jo laughed again.
Did you ever think that it's because I'm envious? Oh, not that you went with Alex, but that you got to go to the beach on a perfect day while I was stuck inside painting for the second day in a row? If I never touch a paint roller again in my life, it'll be too soon. My arms and shoulders are sore.
Katie stood up from the table and went to the counter. She poured another cup of coffee for herself and held up the pot.
More?
No, thank you. I need to sleep tonight and the caffeine will keep me up.
I think I'm going to order some Chinese food. You want any?
I'm not hungry, Katie said. I ate too much today.
I don't think that's possible, but you did get a lot of sun. It looks good on you, even if it'll lead to wrinkles later.
Katie snorted.
Thanks for that. What are friends for?
Jo stood and gave a cat-like stretch.
And listen, I had a good time last night. Although I have to admit, I paid for it this morning.
It was fun, Katie agreed. Jo took a couple of steps before turning around.
Oh, I forgot to ask you. Are you going to keep the bike?
Yes, Katie said. Jo thought about it.
Good for you.
What do you mean by that?
Just that I don't think you should give it back. You obviously need it, and he wanted you to have it. Why shouldn't you keep it?
She shrugged.
Your problem is that you sometimes read too much into things.
Like with my manipulative friend?
Do you really think I'm manipulative?
Katie thought about it.
Maybe a little.
Jo smiled.
So, what's your schedule like this week? Are you working a lot?
Katie nodded. 6 nights in 3 days. Jo made a face.
Yuck.
It's okay. I need the money, and I'm used to it.
And, of course, you had a great weekend.
Katie paused. Yeah, she said. I did. Chapter 13. The next few days passed uneventfully, which only made them feel longer to Alex. He hadn't spoken to Katie since he'd dropped her off on Sunday evening. It wasn't completely unexpected, since he knew she was working a lot this week, but more than once he found himself wandering out of the store and staring up the road, feeling vaguely disappointed when he didn't see her. It was enough to squash the illusion that he'd dazzled her to the point that she couldn't resist stopping by. He was surprised, though, by the almost teenage-like enthusiasm he felt at the prospect of seeing her again, even if she didn't feel the same way. He pictured her on the beach, her chestnut hair fluttering in the breeze, her delicately boned features, and eyes that seemed to change color every time he saw them. Little by little, she'd relaxed as the day had worn on, and he had the sense that going to the beach had softened her resistance somehow. He wondered not only about her past, but about all the other things he still didn't know about her. He tried to imagine what kind of music she liked, or what she thought about first thing in the morning, or whether or not she'd ever attended a baseball game. He wondered whether she slept on her back or on her side, and if given the choice, whether she preferred a shower to a bath.
The more he wondered, the more curious he became. He wished she would trust him with the details of her past, not because he was under the illusion that he could somehow rescue her, or felt that she even needed to be rescued, but because giving voice to the truth of her past meant opening the door to the future. It meant they would be able to have a real conversation. By Thursday, he was debating whether to drop by her cottage. He wanted to, and had once even reached for his keys, but in the end he'd stopped, because he had no idea what to say once he got there. Nor could he predict how she might respond. Would she smile? Or be nervous? Would she invite him inside or ask him to leave? As much as he tried to imagine what might happen, he couldn't, and he'd ended up putting the keys aside. It was complicated. But then again, he reminded himself, she was a mysterious woman. It didn't take long before Katie admitted that the bicycle was a godsend. Not only was she able to come home between her shifts on the days she pulled doubles, but for the first time, she felt as though she could really begin to explore the town, which was exactly what she did. On Tuesday, she visited a couple of antique stores, enjoyed the watercolor seascapes at a local art gallery, and rode through neighborhoods, marveling at the broad, sweeping porches and porticos adorning the historic homes near the waterfront. On Wednesday, she visited the library, and she spent a couple of hours browsing the shelves and reading the flaps of books, loading the bicycle baskets with novels that interested her. In the evenings, though, as she lay in bed reading the books she'd checked out, she sometimes found her thoughts drifting to Alex. Sifting through her memories, those from Altoona, she realized he reminded her of her friend Callie's father. In her sophomore year in high school, Callie had lived down the street from her, and though they didn't know each other that well, Callie was a couple of years younger, Katie could remember sitting on her porch steps every Saturday morning. Like clockwork, Callie's dad would open the garage, whistling as he rolled the lawnmower into place. He was proud of his yard. It was easily the most manicured in the neighborhood. And she'd watch as he pushed the mower back and forth with military precision. He stopped every so often to move a fallen branch out of the way. And in those moments, he would wipe his face with a handkerchief he kept in his back pocket. When he was finished, he would lean against the hood of the Ford in his driveway, sipping a glass of lemonade that his wife always brought to him. Sometimes, she would lean on the car alongside him, and Katie would smile as she saw him pat his wife's hip whenever he wanted to get her attention. There was something contented in the way he sipped his drink and touched his wife that made her think he was satisfied with the life he was leading, and that all his dreams had somehow been fulfilled. Often, as Katie studied him, she wondered how her life would have been had she been born into that family. Alex had the same air of contentment about him when his kids were around. Somehow, he not only had been able to move past the tragedy of losing his wife, but had done so with enough strength to help his kids move past the loss as well. When he'd spoken about his wife, Katie had listened for bitterness or self-pity, but there hadn't been any. There'd been sorrow, of course, and a loneliness in his expression as he spoke of her. But at the same time, he'd told Katie about his wife without making her feel like he'd been comparing the two of them. He seemed to accept her, and though she wasn't sure exactly when it had happened, she realized that she was attracted to him. Beyond that, her feelings were complicated. Not since Atlantic City had she lowered her guard enough to let someone else get so close. And that ended up being a nightmare. But as hard as she'd tried to remain aloof, it seemed that every time she saw Alex, something happened to draw them together. Sometimes by accident, like when Josh fell in the river and she'd stayed with Kristen. But sometimes it seemed almost preordained, like the storm rolling in, or Kristen wandering out and pleading with her to come to the beach. To this point, she'd had enough sense to volunteer little about herself. But that was the thing. The more time she spent with Alex, the more she had the sense that he knew far more than he was letting on, and it frightened her. It made her feel naked and vulnerable, and it was part of the reason she'd avoided going to the store at all this week. She needed time to think, time to decide what, if anything, she was going to do about it. Unfortunately, she'd spent too much time dwelling on the way the fine lines at the corners of his eyes crinkled when he grinned, or the graceful way he'd emerged from the surf. She thought about how Kristen would reach for his hand, and the absolute trust Katie saw in that simple gesture. Early on, Joe had said something along the lines that Alex was a good man, the kind of man who would do the right thing. And though Katie couldn't claim to know him well, her instincts told her he was a man she could trust. That no matter what she told him, he would support her. That he would guard her secrets and never use what he knew to hurt her. It was irrational and illogical, and it went against everything she'd promised herself when she'd moved here. But she realized that she wanted him to know her. She wanted him to understand her, if only because she had the strange sense that he was the kind of man she could fall in love with, even if she didn't want to.